right, let's just go for it.
So, hello, David. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Joel. Really good to be back.
I know. We've had a little mid-season hiatus just for a little couple of weeks, little regathering thoughts, busy with life and whatnot. But we're back with a very exciting episode. I would say this episode puts the right back at you in right back at you.
But of course, because maybe some people don't realise the reason why we've called ourselves right back at you. It's all down to the Spice Girls.
Of course. Wait, I mean, in life, when isn't it all down to the Spice Girls?
So, Right Back Atcha is, in fact, an album track, if you don't already know, from Forever.
We picked Right Back Atcha because, A, we're bringing these artists right back at you, but also sort of a third album track is kind of the vibe of our podcast. You know, sometimes we show you big hitters and sometimes we remind you of people you've forgotten about or maybe introduce you to the undiscovered gems of the noughties. So before we get into it and what we're doing today, though, how have you been, David? What have you been up to?
The weather's been so sunny of late. Started to get back into gardening. Mm. We're recording in my bedroom, and Joel, if you look around, you might notice a few new friends.
Oh, yes.
There's bits of new plants here and there and everywhere, so I can already feel my bank account screaming at me going, maybe just slow down for a second, because I'm just like going crazy. I'm buying seeds, I'm buying bulbs, I'm planting this, I'm planting that. I go down to Tesco and I get more plants from there. Yeah. I go to the flower market and I get more plants, so it's just... I'm in that state of mind.
I mean, anyone that follows you on Instagram will know that from your Insta stories.
Horticultural content galore, yes. And what about you? What's been going on?
So I went to Paris a few weekends ago, had a really lovely time. I'd never been before and just saw everything, ate and drank everything, had a wonderful time sipping on some wine from France that I brought back with me now.
Did you listen to any French music while you were there?
Not while I was there, but before I got there, I listened to Victoria Beckham's version of My Heart's Got a Mind of Its Own in French, and Jerry Halliwell's French version of Calling.
Just those two on repeat?
Yeah. I feel like I might have done an Insta story and used the Jerry French version of Calling. And if I didn't, I was fully meant to. But the only other thing is that we're really in the midst of awards season at the minute in film. You know, we've had the BAFTAs and the Oscars is coming up. So what we have at the cinema at the moment is all these awards-baity films. You know, you've got biopics, dramas, you know, very serious films that are begging for awards. That's why what they're made for. They're just, you know, awards bait. But right in the midst of all that, Miss Jennifer Lopez has released Second Act.
I've heard so much about this film.
Only Jennifer Lopez can release a chick flick right in the middle of awards season. And I tell you what, it's the most fun I've had at the cinema this awards season. I loved it. You need to see it. It's so much fun.
I love a J-Lo rom-com situation. I love Made in Manhattan. What was the other one that she did that was quite...
Oh, Wedding Planner?
Yes. Monster in Law with Jane Fonda. So I think I'm going to really, really enjoy Second Act.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole lot of fun and more.
And she did the song, the lead single for the soundtrack, didn't she?
Yeah, she's J-Lo. She produced the film. A star, snubbed at the Oscars this year. But let's push that all to one side. What are we doing today, David?
We are doing a solo Spice Girls episode.
A solo Spice Girls episode, you say, David? That there's not enough time for a whole episode. There's too much content for one episode.
It really is too much. So the original idea came from a couple of our listeners that have DM'd us, messaged us here and there. I think... the gist of what a lot of people were saying is that it's 20 years since 1999, which was an iconic year for solo Spice material.
It's such an iconic year for pop music, full stop. Yes. You know, hint to our listeners, you might see a few more 1999 infused episodes coming up.
20-year anniversary, everything. So we thought, look, if we're going to focus on the year 99 for the solo Spice Girls, that's going to be obviously cool in itself, but it just felt right to just tell the story from 1998 when the first solo Spice Girl record came out.
Yeah.
After Jerry left, etc. Start the story there, and then we take it all the way to the end of the year 2000.
Yeah.
This period of time was so massive. Like, it really, like, in the research for this episode, it just absolutely took my breath away. We had 21 Spice-related records released in this time. So since Viva Forever to the end of the year 2000. So that's a space of less than 2 years.
Is that including Viva Forever?
No. It was everything after Viva Forever.
Oh my goodness.
21 records released. 15 top 5 singles in there. 3 top 10 albums in there.
And out of that 21, only what, 4 are Spice Girls? 3 out of that 21 are Spice Girls.
Are actual Spice Girls.
Wow.
So now you guys get why we wanted to do this, because it's epic. It's a big chapter.
I don't even know if we've got enough time to cover these 21 releases as it is, David.
Oh, guess what?
Let's get into it.
You're going to have to clear your diary.
This isn't what the episode's about, but Jerry leaving, do you remember that? Do you remember how you felt? I would say life kind of fits into two categories, pre-Jerry leaving and post-Jerry leaving.
Exactly. Exactly right. Now, you go first. You tell me, how was it for you?
I was Spice Girls mad. Everything. As we all were. But I remember hearing that Jerry had left. And it was in, what, 98? So I was 7.
Oh my God, you baby.
And, you know, Jerry was, she was the essence of the Spice Girls. I just remember my childhood best friend was over and he was like not really into the Spice Girls. And his mum and my mum were friends and she was over as well. And I was just in balls of tears. Like,
oh my God.
Like I just stubbed my toe and the pain kept coming. And then my mum turns around to the other mum and goes, oh, bless them, it's their first real loss, isn't it?
It is so true. I think I found out because my dad told me. My dad had heard it on the news and he just gave it to me very quick, didn't prep me, nothing, and just said, Jerry's left the Spice Girls. It's all over the news. And I, at that time, did not grasp the concept of groups dismantling, groups carrying on without a member. Like, I did not know what it looks like because in my mind, the Spice Girls were my first pop group. I wasn't aware of Take That at the time, growing up in Malaysia.
So, Jez has left, Spice World Tour, they continue it without her.
And while they're over in the States, Mel B gets approached by Missy Elliott. So, first solo Spice Girl track, I Want You Back.
Yes.
Mel B featuring Missy Elliott. What did you think of it?
I think it was far too edgy for me at the time, but I loved it just because that's how my mind worked. It was like, oh, wow, what's this sort of crazy green video that's come out? And I think it was even the first time in my life that I'd sort of really heard the term solo.
Missy Elliott at the time was doing she was exec producing the soundtrack for Why Do Fools Fall in Love. So it was her, Timbaland, working with a bunch of different artists. Destiny's Child, Get on the Bus was one of the singles from this soundtrack. I didn't know that. That was massive. Missy Elliott had this idea, rang up Mel B and go, hey, do you want to be on my track? And literally Mel B was like, what? Are you insane? That is so cool. Are you sure you want me? She said, hold on a minute, let me check with the girls. Checked with the girls. The girls was like, yeah, you have to do it. You should do it. So she agreed. And on one of her days off in New York, she didn't want to just sort of like turn up on the day at the session itself and just sort of get started there. So she actually went a day earlier just to formally introduce herself in person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And as she entered the studio, Destiny's Child was there. Recording. Wow. And they were like, oh my God, it's Scary Spice. And she's like, oh my God, it's Destiny's Child. So it was this whole thing. So then they vibed, you know, the next day she came back to the studio, worked with Missy. Apparently the original version of I Want You Back was a little more crazy. There was a lot more swearing involved.
Oh, Melly B.
And she was like, I don't want to...
I'm not Crazy Spice, I'm Scary Spice, do you know what I mean?
you know, she didn't want to play that character of a woman that was so desperate and like whacked out wanting her ex back. So they sort of scaled it back a bit and rewrote some of the lyrics. So the video was directed by Hype Williams. It was shot in Nashville. So Mel B and Jimmy Gulza flew out to Nashville. And I think while they were there, that was when the Spice Girls rewrote Goodbye with Matt Rowe and Biff Stannard.
Right.
So those two writers flew out to Nashville because that was where the Spice Girls were. They were in America.
And I was reading, I don't know how true it is, but someone on YouTube said that this music video is one of the first music videos to use a fisheye lens.
Oh.
Which made it quite sort of ahead of its time. So
I'm not going to say that this is like my favourite solo Spice video, because in a lot of ways I felt like, Mel B, if you're presenting yourself as a solo artist for your first outing, like, I want to see more of her.
Yeah, but I think this is more of a, it was more this opportunity happened and we'll go with it.
Yeah.
But this isn't the first single before my debut album comes out. It's like, this has happened, we'll run with it, this is the video for it.
Yeah. Looking at this time scale of how it unfolded, I mean, it was insane, Joel. She released a single on 14th of September, the day before she got married to Jimmy Gulza. So that was a big week for her. Can you just imagine that? Gets married on the Sunday. Monday, debut solo single comes out. 2 days later, Jerry auctions her Union Jack dress and all the other Ginger Spice paraphernalia. So I Want You Back debuted at number one. Massive deal.
I mean, I think whoever was going to get be the first Spice Girl to do it, You get that.
The attention with it. Yeah. I mean, in a way, it was the week it was released, the Spice Girls were back. They were playing Wembley Stadium the following week. So it was
The Back in Britain gigs.
The Back in Britain gigs. So think about the timing of this. Like, I think the Spice Girls would have saturated the press that week. So there was no way this single wasn't going to get a look in. Mel B actually found out the chart position by listening to the radio while she was backstage at Wembley with the girls. They were tuned into the radio, they were in the dressing room, and then found out, oh my God, she's number one. And then they, you know, it was just,
wow, good on you, Mel. Well done, Mel. Oh, that's great news, Mel. You're not singing it tonight, though. It's not on the set list. All right, guys, let's do this show. Oh, to have been a fly on that wall.
What a time to be alive.
Literally.
I Want You Back stayed on the UK Top 40 for 6 weeks. It made number 12 in Australia as well. And in terms of iconic performances, the following month, Mel B hosted the MOBO Awards.
Which is an incredible move for her. There was an incident at this MOBO Awards, wasn't there?
There was. So Joel got me Mel B's Catch a Fire.
So, for anyone that doesn't know, that's not the new Mel B book.
No.
This is Mel B's first book that was out in the early noughties.
Thanks to you, Joel, I found out there is a story around this MOBO Awards situation. Mel B's the host. P. Diddy / Puff Daddy was one of the guests of the show. The thing is that he's Puff Daddy, so he thinks he is king of the world. Yeah. He should have as much rehearsal time as he wants. He was running way over time, hogging the stage. Mel barges in, goes, you need to get off the stage because you've gone on for too long.
Yeah, tell him, Mel.
I'm presenting the show. I need to, and I'm also performing, so I need to go through my bits at least once or twice. And Puff Daddy looked at her, spun around. He still had his mic in his hand.
And he said, get this bitch off the stage, didn't he?
Get this bitch off the stage.
And it's no, get this motherfucking prick off the stage. Sorry for my language, but I cannot stand these entitled men.
Mm.
It's like, that is a fucking Spice Girl. Again, sorry for my language, but respect. You know, this is her turf.
This
mate.
Is her turf, her show.
She's the host of this award. She can screw you right over if she
wants
to.
And she let him know. She let him know right in that very second. She prodded him on the shoulder and said, get this what off the stage? She's like, you better be nice because I'm introducing you.
Well, I tell you what, I never liked P. Diddy's attitude. When you watch back the Making the Band stuff, he's just rude to them the whole time. It's like, how are you meant to nurture a successful girl band? I'm going to calm myself down. Let me know what you think of this.
Oh, this one is good.
My 10 euro wine that I brought back from France.
10 euro Bordeaux wine from actual France is a whole different story, honey.
Don't know what the hell I thought I was doing in France. 10 euro wine, oh please, caviar to go with that, thank you, sir.
So Joel, next comes the lovely Melanie C as part of Bryan Adams' When You're Gone.
When you think solo Spice, this is one of the staples.
This is, yeah. Baby, when you're gone, I realize I'm in love. Days go on and on, and the nights just seem so long. Even food that tastes like gold.
Now, this song was originally offered to Janet Jackson.
No.
And someone else who I can't remember.
Sheryl Crow is who I heard.
Then, because it's the frequent collaborator, Elliot Kennedy, I think it was him that suggested, why don't you see if Melanie C wants to give it a go? She'd be great on this.
Oh.
It's like that clip in Showgirls. You remember when we all watched Showgirls? And they're like, we could have had anyone in this show. Janet Jackson, Paula Abdul. I can't remember if they say Janet or LaToya Jackson, actually. But we went for Naomi Malone. When You're Gone, quite sort of adult contemporary sort of light pop rock, but still doesn't alienate the Spice Girls audience, I'd say.
No, in fact, I think it took Melanie C to a broader audience, and they sounded so good together.
Really good. And I think this song will really come in handy, or did come in handy for Mel as a stepping stone for the artists that were about to see her come with her debut album.
Yeah.
I think without this, it might have been quite a shock.
Yes,
quite
true.
Jolting. It true. Was a little bit anyway.
It was still a jolt when she finally came out with Northern Star and all those singles. But
I think this really helped people be like, yeah, I mean, we always knew she was, you know, that Spice Girl with the voice. But yeah, here she is. She's singing with Bryan Adams, a bit of cred. And I think the parents that were forced to listen to the Spice Girls all this time by their kids would be like, no, we like this one. This is one for us.
This is one for us, yeah.
And it went straight in at number 3, I believe, with, you know, not really that much promo. And this single, David, was released on November the 30th, just a few weeks before Goodbye was released.
2 weeks before Goodbye. But there she was, soaring high, number 3, platinum-selling single with Bryan Adams. It spent 21 weeks on the charts, 10 weeks in the top 10 here. Can you believe that?
So I wonder if it was in the top 10 when Goodbye was at number 1.
It must have been.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Joel, a bit of a fun fact that I read in Mel B's Catch a Fire. This was the song that Phoenix, Mel B's firstborn, was born to.
What?
Let me backtrack and explain.
Excuse me?
So Melanie C had bought Mel B a portable radio when she went into labour, just as a little gift, so, you know, she can always remember what song Phoenix was born to. Mel B had the radio on, and they played Bryan Adams' Mel C, When You're Gone, and that was when Phoenix came out.
Bloody cheap. I don't know why cheap, but you can see it now. Oh, get it off! I don't, that's not Mel B's accent at all.
So as you say, 2 weeks after we had the Spice Girls with Goodbye, the 8th number one single, 3rd consecutive Christmas number one.
Now, I got that on cassette for Christmas, and I remember that being my favourite gift that Christmas. I think maybe I also got the Walkman, tape Walkman that Christmas, so I had them, I had my cassette, and I just kept playing that. And I kept playing the B-side, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, but I think I'll miss this one this year because it was a bit more up-tempo, a bit fun.
I have to say for me, though, Goodbye really struck a chord with me and my mum when this came out. it was, I mean, it came out in December 98, and now it all makes sense in my head with the timeline, because this was a few months before we would immigrate from Malaysia to Australia. And my mum, every time this came on the radio, she would just start crying in the car.
Oh, bless her.
She would just weep. Because she was just thinking about all her friends that she's going to have to say goodbye to, her family. My mum was the first one in her family to immigrate overseas. Wow. So it was a really big deal. And I just, even to this day, when I listen to Goodbye, I just think of my mum crying in the car.
Oh, bless her.
In the months before we left Malaysia. So it's a very special song for our family in that sense. But yeah.
And then also, do you remember that I gifted you the Goodbye single a few years ago?
Yes, thank you, Joel. It's up there with my Emma Bunton Free Me album and Melanie C Northern Star, which we will get to.
Classics.
So, Joel, we're now in the year 1999. The month before Jerry came out with her debut single, the Spice Girls announced a concert. Christmas in Spice World.
So Christmas in Spice World 99?
Yes.
And they announced that in the April, I believe, didn't they?
Yes. So this was a few months after Mel B and Victoria had given birth.
So what's clever about that, actually? Because if you look at it, you look back and you think, well, they didn't do anything in 99. It's quite a risky move. But I guess April, Goodbye hadn't been out that long ago. No. And they're saying, look, come and see us in concert. At the end of this year.
And they were probably planning, in fact, I know they were planning sessions of new music in 99. So they're probably hoping to get something out by the end of the year.
So between Goodbye and May, we see no solo Spice Girl material. Oh, they were a painful few months, David, let me tell you.
But it makes it so much sweeter with what's about to come in May 1999, when Miss Jerry Halliwell debuts with Look At Me.
Now this is a debut single.
Look at me. You can take it all because this face is free. Maybe next time use your eyes and look at me. I'm the drama queen if that's your thing, baby. I can even do real.
When she released Look At Me, you listen to that song, you watch the video, you look back at the promo campaign, the posters that matched to the music video, the campaign behind it. She really did let us all know that I'm that bitch. You know, I am the reason, I am the heart and soul of that group you loved so much, and I'm bringing it to you. And we were all devastated, or at least I know I was, when she did sort of the Ginger Spice funeral in the music video.
This would have been a year since she left the Spice Girls, wouldn't it? Roughly, give or take. In the months that followed it, Jerry has really transformed her image. And even though she largely kept out the press, she did do a few public appearances here and there that were very... She didn't look like Ginger Spice. She stripped it all back, very neutral makeup, barely any makeup. Very clean blonde hair. She became a UN Goodwill Ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Serious Spice then.
Serious Spice in a blazer, muted colours. And then she sang for Prince Charles at...
Yes, Happy Birthday, the Marilyn Monroe thing.
See, that was another public appearance in the year 98. And obviously she auctioned off all the Spice Girls stuff that she had. So in that she looked very different as well. She was very... She has already buried Ginger in that sense, you know, in those three public appearances alone. So now, all of a sudden, she comes back with a record and it's like, okay, this is fun. Thank goodness we never lost any of the fun.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm here, I'm that bitch. This is the introduction.
Exactly. So Shirley Bassey style, that song.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't sound like anything that was on the charts then or now.
I absolutely
lived for it. Around this time, we need to talk about the Molly Dineen documentary.
Oh, classic. I mean, Molly Dineen, this is creditable documentary maker. This is someone you would see a retrospective of her work at the BFI. I mean, Jerry knows what she's doing. She makes some good choices, you know. I think, wasn't Molly Dineen originally introduced to potentially do something with the Spice Girls as a whole?
Yeah, and then somehow those talks fell through, but she had always clicked with Jerry or something like that. But Molly's reason for doing it is because of her fascination with Jerry wanting to retreat from the public eye, but still wanting a camera to follow her.
Because doesn't it open with Jerry in, like, France or somewhere? She's like, I'm Jerry Halliwell, and I've just left the Spice Girls.
Every 5 minutes on the news, there'd be another news flash saying, where is Ginger Spice? It was just so when she phoned up, I was obviously thinking with a complete journalist hat on, core blimey, this is the inside story, how interesting. And therefore, I went to meet her in France just to look into it. Although she'd hidden and was trying to get away from everything, she'd taken her camera with her, and her brother was filming her in a hotel in Paris.
Today is Thursday the 28th of May. I'm in Paris and yesterday I left the Spice Girls.
It sort of is the precursor. That documentary was a precursor to a lot of stuff.
Vloggers and YouTubes now.
Exactly, and social media. It really was a precursor to how pop stars use social media to not do interviews, not do press the traditional way, but to control their message and to appear closer to their fans. So Look At Me debuted at number 2 in the UK, spent 7 weeks in the top 40, a big success across Europe. It was number 1 in New Zealand.
Thank you for that, New Zealand. Number 3 in Australia.
Thank you.
It was gold in Australia, gold in Sweden, gold in the United Kingdom. It was kept off the top spot here. It went to number 2 here. It was kept off the top spot by Boyzone.
Oh, boo. The single ended up selling 1.5 million copies worldwide.
Bloody hell.
I have to say, iconic live performances, Party in a Park.
Which one? She's done a few Party in a Park.
This was this era.
Right.
Long blonde hair, sort of wavy, mermaid-y looking hair, all black, barefoot.
Do you know what? I'm barefoot in the park, like Jane Fonda. That's something she'd say, something like that. If you've not seen Barefoot in the Park with Jane Fonda and Robert Redford, I recommend you watch it. Classic.
Joel, next comes, in the month of June, Jerry's Schizophonic.
I went out and got this album straight away.
Oh, did you?
This was an album to get. But I remember my mum's best friend, this lovely woman, very Essex, very sweet. She would come round all the time. And because I would just be so excited about these things, I remember showing her the Jerry album. She don't care. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, oh, that's lovely, isn't it? Oh, you've got two covers, so you get a nice little choice. Oh, yeah, that's really nice, very different. Oh, yeah, that's really lovely. And then saying that, I remember when I got the Spice World VHS, I showed it to her. I was like, I've got this Spice World VHS. And the VHS itself was green, like this very, like, neon sort of luminous green, like Nickelodeon-style green. Oh, okay. She was like, oh, I love that colour. It's lovely, isn't it? Very different. Yeah.
She sounds
this
like a
poor woman.
She sounds like a character from Kath and Kim.
The Essex version. I mean, to be honest, maybe my life is the Essex version of Kath and Kim, my childhood anyway. So this album, and I remember me and my sister are obsessed with the track 10, the closing song, You're in a Bubble. Because it's very
bonkers.
Yeah, it's quite avant-garde in a mainstream pop way. Because there's the lyric in it, call the police. To me and Kylie, my sister closest to me in age, it sounded like Jerry was saying, call up Elise, which is my middle sister's name. So we were living for that lyric.
It's important to learn to laugh at ourselves. Don't take life too seriously.
You're in a bubble, the money's just double.
I mean, this is a very eclectic album. Listening back, even to this day, I was surprised that she only worked with one lot of producers for this. She went with Absolute, who did a lot of the Spice Girls stuff. They did this album together, and Joel,
they did the whole album.
Yeah.
Great opportunity for them.
Jerry found really great musical partners in this project that really she could be herself with
And I'm sure she's coming in with different ideas every day, which you'll see in the differences of everything.
Yeah.
So it probably helps so much that there's these producers that can really, as different and crazy as it's going to be, they can help give it some sort of overarching thing.
Even if you listen to the song Walk Away and the way it transitions into Mi Chico Latino, it's like, how do you make these two songs sit side by side on this album? You've got Latin pop song, which we're going to talk about shortly.
Oh, aren't we?
And then we've got Walk Away, which is this sweeping ballad. And the way they did it was that this beautiful musical outro, and then slowly it transitions into the kind of watery, oceany opening of Mi Chico Latino. And I thought, oh, fucking hell, this is a soundtrack.
Now, some Spice fans will consider this the third Spice Girls album, really. You know, the heart of the Spice Girls that you loved of the first two albums. A lot of people do consider this the third Spice Girls album. Absolute took a risk deciding to go with Jerry, because it was a one or the other kind of case.
Yeah.
It paid off for them in the long run, because if they had decided to go with the Spice Girls for forever, they would have been lucky to have one song end up on the album, if that.
My kind of manifesto for the album was, like, this is the last album I ever do. Let's take it to the max. Let's not be shy here.
You know, it's a big part of me. I wrote a lot of songs when I was with the Spice Girls. And, you know, and I took whatever I gave to the Spice Girls with me. And I'm hoping my music will appeal to, you know, Spice Girl fans and more.
I actually have been to the studio where she made this album.
Excuse me, I'm just going to pass out for a second.
So I went with Jerry to the actual studio where she made this album a couple of years ago when she was filming the BBC music docu-series. I think it was called Jerry's 90s or something like that. It was basically Jerry, it was part historical facts, but told through the lens of Jerry. Turns out it was on the same site, not exactly the same studio, but it was the same site where they did the first Spice Girls album. That was a few doors down.
My God.
Very sad to say, the studio that Jerry worked in for her album is now being transformed into a glass-making studio or whatever it is. But we went in there with the cameras anyway, and we walked around what would have been the living room space where she had, you know, she chilled out and wrote lots of the lyrics, and where the vocal booth would have been. So, like, when you watch the Molly Dineen documentary and you see these moments where she's in the vocal booth, that was where we were standing. It's just funny to think that, yeah, these albums that are so special to us are created in these spaces. And sadly, sometimes these spaces don't last forever. So Schizophonic debuted and peaked at number 4 in the UK, certified double platinum after spending 50 weeks on the charts.
After me showing my mum's best friend both covers. Oh, lovely. Yeah, that's lovely.
The album made number 2 in Australia, and I guess it was a big success across Europe as well.
No, number 22 in Australia.
Sorry, number 22. I'm trying to change history.
And number 42 on the Billboard 200 in the States. Big deal. Big deal.
This is big. And she did do some US promo around this time, didn't
Rosie
she?
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell, Jay Leno.
Schizophonic would go on to sell over 3 million copies worldwide. So good on you, Jerry.
So next we get Melanie G. Now, this isn't a sixth Spice Girl, if you're wondering. Melanie G is Melanie B, Mel B, when she got married to Jimmy. She briefly became Melanie G.
So the single we're talking about with Melanie G is Word Up, a cover of Cameo's single that was used as the second single from Austin Powers' The Spy Who Shagged
Me. So what was the first single?
Madonna, Beautiful Stranger.
Of course.
Iconic.
Now, I really like this cover. I love that the beat's just like, oh yeah, let's go for it. Like, come on, baby. It's a really fun song.
Oh, Joel, I did not like it. I just didn't get it. Maybe it was too edgy for me. I don't know.
I tell you what I was not a fan of. Have you seen both music videos for this?
Yes.
I didn't like that animated sort of music video that's quite creepy.
Yeah, so she had two music videos for this, and the original, well, the main one was that black and white animated one, which looks very kind of lo-fi animated.
Which would have been very expensive at the time, though. At the time. Waste of money, if you ask me.
At the time. So she wasn't really in it?
Because she was pregnant at the time.
Or at least some animated version of
her. So she's pregnant with her second child here?
No. She'd just given birth to Phoenix. Yeah. So then she had a second music video, which was more scenes from the movie.
And it has her in a chair with a sort of space thing and the guy that plays Mini-Me.
Yeah, you're talking about the silver outfit that she's wearing. She looks like she's got satellite things on her.
Yeah, a lot of YouTube comments are like, oh, Mel B did this first.
I mean, it was a little Grace Jonesy, Lady Gaga-y.
Yeah.
But for a second Mel B solo record, I'm not really seeing her as her.
No, but it is a song from a soundtrack.
I mean, that's two records in a row where Mel B's had an opportunity to really sell us her as a solo entity, and she seems to be hiding again or not really figuring out who she is or what she wants to show us.
There's a reason why this didn't make it onto her debut album, although it was a bonus track on the Japanese release. It's a soundtrack song. I think it went to number 13 here. She's probably just trying to, and also she was then Mel B by the time her album came out. I think there's many reasons why she's like, forget that.
In 99, a whole year before the album came out, she did an episode on Flavor where the filmmakers, the documentary makers or the series makers, whoever it was, went out to the streets in America and vox popped people with this song.
I like it. Who's singing it?
That's Mel G.
Mel G?
Yeah.
Where you come from?
You know Mel G?
Uh-uh.
You know the Spice Girls?
So I think if somebody thinks I'm credible, then that's good. I'll shake your hand and say thank you very much. And if somebody doesn't think I'm credible and down with it, and then I think, oh, well, that's your opinion. What I think of myself is that I'm all right. Yeah.
Now, Joel, now it brings us to August of 99. The Spice Girls have started work on their third album, and the Spice Girls in America tour documentary comes out.
Oh.
And then suddenly, bam, Mi Chico Latino.
Now, this is the song. Do you not think this song... Oh, a lot of people love this song, self included.
Take me back to my sweet love.
This might be my favourite Jerry single.
I think so too. It's a toss-up between this and Bag It Up for me, but this one is so special. Just a really gorgeous song and really sets a different tone for Jerry as an artiste. 16th of August, 99, you know, really lovely summer song. It's, you know, it's not a summer banger, but it's a very summer, joy-filled love song.
Mm. And she's always said that she's a big fan of Madonna. So I think a lot of the press made that natural connection that this was sort of her La Isla Bonita. And also interesting to note in 99, the Latin pop vibes that Jerry was giving us in Mi Chico Latino really connected with what was happening in the wider pop world. We had Ricky Martin having a big moment. J-Lo was debuting. Enrique Iglesias came out with his first English crossover album that very year as well. So everyone was feeling the Latin pop vibes, and I don't think anyone was expecting for Jerry to really be one of the front runners there.
I didn't know Spanish was a language before this song was released. I'm joking, because obviously Jerry did a Spanish rap on another Spice Girls song.
Can we talk about the music video?
Oh, stunning.
Gorgeous.
I mean, she's on the back of that boat in the sun. She awakens. There's all these gorgeous male dancers. And then she gets that little ukulele thing. If a Spanish man wanted to serenade this song to me, I would not complain.
Michiku Latino debuted at number one, making it Jerry's first number one hit. It spent 15 weeks on the charts. I don't know what the fuck happened, but it only made number 43 in Australia.
You idiots. So after Michiko Latino, huge number one for Jerry, we have the debut solo single from Melanie C. This is really sort of rock Mel C.
I remember reading something that Virgin Records was initially very worried about how the press was going to react to some of the new material by Mel C. So she made a, she sent a few tracks back. And they made a promotional CD, like just an album sampler to tease the press with, to sort of give them time to sit with it. The label knew that this was going to be a big thing. It's actually really cool that Virgin Records had invested so much thought and care in preparing the world for Melanie C, the solo artist.
Yeah, really lovely.
You know, you can tell by the kind of producers that she was working with, and we'll get into it when we talk about Northern Star, the album. You can see that every care has been taken, but nonetheless, this was going to shock people.
The way you've just... It's like, sit down, Joel.
No, really.
This like, is going to shock people. This is a, you got a real shocking transformation in image.
Yeah.
You know, she's cut her hair. She's really going for it. You can see why she's done it, because she's trying to step out on her own as an artist and do her thing.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with Miley Cyrus when she left Hannah Montana and Hollywood Records, the Disney label, behind her. And she did the We Can't Stop era.
This music video is excellent, though. I have to say, this is genius. This is brilliant. Just the way this was filmed, it's like a really cool Converse commercial.
Yeah, rocker, indie rock girl at a house party.
Yeah, you know, people moshing. It was just the epitome of cool. It was shot in LA. You got all these cool people there, skaters, you know, punk looking people. It was like a giant garage party. And there she was. And also for her first outing as a solo Spice Girl, they didn't make her look too isolated. They kept her in the middle of a mosh pit. So visually, it was still her in a bunch of people. So it was less pressure. Look at her, look at her, look at her.
So the three writers on it are Melanie C, Richard Stannard, who's written a bunch of the Spice Girls, and Julian Gallagher, who has written for Five, but also co-written Lullaby for Mel B and What Took You So Long for Emma. So it's not... like, you know, these are still three very pop writers, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was a very exciting day in the studio for everyone involved to try something different. So going down with all the shock and everything that came with it of being Sporty Spice's first solo outing, debuted at number four, unfortunately dropped out of top 30 after just 3 weeks. But you know what?
I'll take 3 weeks.
But you know what? 30. You look at it as a buzz single, as a sort of, like you said, a taster, then that makes sense.
The sort of reintroduction to Melanie C.
Yeah.
The decision for this first single being going down was a big departure. Was that one of the reasons to sort of get that out of the way, saying this is a side maybe you've never seen? Here it
you
is.
You know, I think maybe it was a subconscious thing. Because I wasn't trying to make a statement, but as soon as I wrote the single, I just knew in my heart I wanted it to be the first single. I don't know why, there's no reason behind it.
The first single is not indicative of the record, though. There's a lot of stuff going on in there, a little world you've created.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of Spice Girls fans think, you know, maybe it's not going to be to their taste, but it's all pop, you know, and there's some more dancey stuff on there, there's some R&B, there's, what else is on there? There's acoustic stuff, but there are a few rock tracks as well, but nothing, you know, too far away from the Spice Girls.
So then after this, she has the Northern Star album, her debut album.
The biggest selling solo Spice Girl album to date.
Close to 4 million records worldwide sold.
It has been so interesting doing research for this episode because in my mind of what was happening in real time, it was so different to what was actually happening for this campaign. Because really, there are two chapters to Northern Star. You know, we've got this part in 99, the launch, with Going Down, the album coming out, and then one other single before the end of the year. And then literally, chapter two is a whole exciting new venture, a whole new journey, a second life.
Yeah, she breathed a few lives into this album. Really,
yeah,
really
she
got
really,
it going.
Really did, yeah.
Let's talk about the album.
So what did you think of this? Because I know you're a pop boy. We're both pop boys.
I'll be honest, this album has never done anything for me until the first time I listened to it was yesterday. And you know what? I said to you earlier today, I really enjoyed this album. I've got a lot more respect for it, but it's a really strong album.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyable album. And it actually does feed into, I am a pop boy, I'm a pop dance boy, but I'm also a pop rock boy. I do always tend to enjoy the rockier sounds more than you do, however sugary they might be.
I'll be honest as well. I was surprised to check my prejudice aside. It wasn't as hard or as alternative as I was expecting it to be initially. You know, musically is so diverse. This, in a lot of ways, is her, this is her ray of
light. Yeah.
So Joel, she worked with some incredible producers on this project. That's Rick Knowles.
William Orbit,
who did Madonna's actual Ray of Light.
And All Saints, can we say?
Yes, All Saints. Marius de Vries, who's worked with Bjork. Rick Rubin, who has worked with Run DMC and Red Hot Chili Peppers. This album, Northern Star, debuted at number 10 in the UK initially.
And climbed up to number 4 was its peak position.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a slow burn. Like I said before, it did get a second life in the next chapter when Never Be the Same Again and I Turn to You became singles the following year. Northern Star peaked at number 32 in Australia. It made 108 on the Billboard 200.
Which, you know, isn't great, but is not to be snubbed at.
Not to be snubbed at all.
You know, apart from Jerry's album, this is the only other album to make a dent on the Billboard charts, the US charts.
Only other solo Spice, yeah. Around this time, Melanie C also embarked on her first solo tour from Liverpool to Leicester Square.
I mean, that really says a lot about Mel C as an artist. She started touring pretty much straight off the bat.
Yeah. Did you think, like, at this time, how did she even manage? Because bear in mind, this is, when did this album come out? This album came out in October 99. She was touring from September till November. There is still a Spice Girls concert coming in December.
We were reading about how she did rehearsals for her own tour while they were recording as
a group,
didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was like downstairs in a basement, she had her own band going, and then upstairs she was doing the Spice Girls rehearsal, and then
that's Hannah Montana as a double pop star. You're not a normal life and a pop star, you're two pop stars. You're your own artist and in a pop group.
She must have been so knackered.
Must have just been like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to do my thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, girls, I'm busy. I can't do the recording for the third album. Can we push it back?
Album comes out in October for Melanie C. The following month, we get the chart battle of all chart battles. This is painful. And this is actually part of the reason why a lot of people wanted us to do this episode.
Yeah, this is it, guys.
To talk about this moment in the year 1999, it was, I believe, the 1st of November.
It's Jerry versus Emma.
On the charts.
Which is Emma's first single and Jerry's third single of the album.
Shall we talk about the individual songs and then go into the week of the battle? So let's talk about Emma's record first, because this is quite fascinating. This is the world's first taste of Emma Bunton as a solo artist. And she is a feature act on Tintin Out's cover of What I Am.
A duet with Emma Bunton.
In the year 99, Emma had her own VH1 show, just called Emma.
Well, David Lim has been keeping all these things from me just so he can surprise me when we record our episode.
What's the point of us, like, sharing everything because then we have nothing to talk about? I know your game, Jerry. We have nothing to talk about.
I'm the Emma here. He's the Jerry.
Stop it.
I'm the friendly one, but he's the one that the nation loves.
Oh, you're the comedic heart of this podcast, and you know it.
Stop
you're
it.
The beloved.
Stop it.
You're the beloved.
So tell me about this show that's brand new information to me, Emma.
It was brand new. It was brand new information to me as of a few hours ago as well. So Emma was given her own VH1 show where she gets to introduce viewers to, I guess, a selection of her favourite hits over the last 20 years.
All right.
Not more than once did she mention the Spice Girls. Like, she mentioned them quite a lot.
Yeah, I would be too. Oh, next up is my good friend Mel G. I was just on the phone to her earlier today. And
but that was, you know, them trying to launch Emma as a presenter. So, you know, she was getting these gigs. So don't be thinking 99 was all about all these girls and Emma Bunton was just sitting at home doing nothing.
She was
carving her presenting career out then. Interestingly, the theme song for the series was What I Am. I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about this because I didn't feel it was right.
Really? What I will say is that in one of the Jerry interviews I was watching, she did manage to subtly mention that Emma's is a cover.
To me, this showed lack of ambition.
It's lovely. It's very nice, which I think suits Emma at this moment in time, especially for Emma, who was probably just ready to sort of dip her toes in things. You know, she's working as a TV presenter, she's doing that kind of thing. And you got to remember, her debut album is not for maybe another, 2 years from here? So I think she was just ready to test the waters and she was presented with this lovely track to suit her lovely vocals. So she went for it and they sold it on lovely, very nice.
This is not the launch of Emma Bunton that we wanted. And for her first outing, throw her in an oversized man shirt in a music video with a bunch of other blokes.
Yeah, it could have been from slightly earlier in the 90s, but I think it's quite great, this sort of music video and the oversized shirt. And what it sells you on is that she's the girl next door.
Mm.
She's that lovely girl you could have met at the club and met and fallen in love with.
Mm.
That very sort of Dawn from The Office archetype, you know, the receptionist. She looks like she's having a great time, so good for her.
I guess that is interesting. I would love to have been part of the meetings and the kind of thinking of how do we position Emma Bunton, the solo pop star? How do we grow her out of Baby Spice without, you know, we don't want to do anything too scandalous, too polarizing. And they ended up with some sort of Jennifer Page-y, the Causey sounding single.
Do you know what, actually? That would have been the perfect debut single for Emma, Jennifer Page Crush.
So excited.
Imagine that. Just yeah, at the thoughts yeah, of it. Yeah. I see you blowing me a kiss. It doesn't take a scientist. That would have been lovely.
That would have been amazing. They should have covered that. Okay, just really quickly before we move on from Emma in this time, she also recorded a track for Pokemon, the first movie soundtrack.
Which you reminded me of today. I had heard it previously. A sort of very Europop fun, but also very Max Martin-esque, which is a point you made.
It's called Hey You, Free Up Your Mind.
And David, Hey You, you need to free up your mind about this Tin Tin Out song.
I really do. I need to get over this bitterness.
And to quote David Lim back to me, he said this earlier, is that we didn't realise that a teen pop Emma Bunton is what we would have loved to have had.
Oh, yes.
This Max Martin heavy...
Yes.
Emma Bunton. And I said she could be encapsulated as Baby Spice forever with that image, you know?
Which is probably what she didn't want.
She didn't want, but what we would have loved.
Free up your mind, let the music free, and it will
She could have been the fifth member to the other Fab Four. Brittany, Christina, Mandy, Jessica, Emma. The UK Brittany, which is obviously Billy Piper, but she could have been the sixth member of this pack.
Can you imagine?
Seventh, if you include Willa Ford.
Max Martin and Robin Sessions, written for Emma Bunton. That's a whole other career trajectory.
Yeah, that's in a parallel timeline.
That's a parallel timeline where Emma Bunton breaks America. Okay, Joel, it's time to address the other single that's part of this chart battle.
So, Lift Me Up, what do you think of that song?
Initially, back in the day, not my immediate favourite Jerry song, because I wasn't sure if I needed a ballad moment. But over the years, I have really come to very, very enjoy this song. In my mind now, I see Lift Me Up as Jerry doing the Carpenters.
Oh, no.
Don't reject it. Listen to it.
No,
listen. Come on.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Listen, I know. I love the Carpenters. Don't get me wrong. I grew up with the Carpenters. They're my mum's favourite band. But if you listen to the way Jerry sings in the verses, the way she, her vocal tones, she is trying to channel a little bit of Karen Carpenter in there in her own way. Don't do this. Don't do this. This will be the episode we fall out on. This chart battle is what's killing us.
I love Jerry. I love Jerry Halliwell. I love her so much. But I love the Carpenters, and we can't put them in the same sentence. No. It's just, that's two different brushes for me, and I can't put them as the same brush. Is there a world we know where life will naturally lift me up when the day is over, when the sun is going down, I will be your angel now. So, this is your favourite out of the two songs between Jerry and Emma?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah, very interesting. So I think mine's the other one.
Oh, really? You go Tintin
just out? Because, I think purely because, when you look at the other Jerry singles from this album, this isn't up there for me.
No, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking if you're asking me to pick Tintin out versus this one.
No, I think the other one. Just because I'm not sure if this is one of my... I don't know how I feel about this one, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I think it's all right.
So I mean, don't get me wrong, Joel. This is not the hill I will die on. It's not Lift Me Up.
So this song, this single, sold 30,000 more copies than What I Am. Now you would say, oh, a third single of an album, like, that's not a lot of competition. But Jerry had established herself as this huge artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she had just announced she was in a relationship with Chris Evans. There was so much press around her. And she really
went for it. She just released her autobiography, If Only.
Which was a number one selling book.
Jerry is fierce competition. And when she found out that Emma's record was coming out the same week as hers, she tried to get it moved, but then couldn't. And guess what? She fucking went for it.
Oh, she went for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was go big or go home. Mm-hmm. She did every kind of show under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to see anyone paired off against each other, but I do not like to see that women are paired off against each other in our industry.
True.
As a young homosexual, I did live for it.
You live for the drama.
You know, the American imported magazines I used to talk about, if they had Hillary versus Lindsay on the cover, straight, take my £5. But as a man with integrity in 2019, I do not condone this kind of attitude at all.
But do you know what? It generated a great deal of publicity for both of them.
It did.
But they make it all into a big thing. Yes. Like, I didn't know that Joe's was coming out that day, and I don't think she knew I was coming out. And it's just happened. And I think there's always different artists in the charts. So you sort of just... You know, it's just one of those things. Yeah. And everyone likes different artists and music should be enjoyed, so...
Exactly.
Yes.
So, do you enjoy her music?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I liked her last single.
I definitely like her last single. That was my favourite.
Not saying about this next one, though.
Oh, no, this one's... I haven't heard it much, actually.
All right.
Because I've been so busy running around.
Good. Have you seen the video?
I haven't, no.
The little dwarfs in the video. It's good.
I know, everyone keeps telling me about it. Do you like my video?
I do like your video. It's very good. I love the song. As well.
Good.
So Jerry had done a HMV signing for this single. She probably did a few, but this was at one particular signing. She addressed the press and she said, I think that we should be responsible about that, about the chart battle, because that little kid has to part with £4 and making them decide is really wicked. That is like choosing between two parents. Also interesting to note, the Spice Girls released their book Forever Spice the same week as Emma's single.
And not long after Jerry's book?
It was about a month or 3 or 4 weeks after Jerry's book. They came out with a picture book, Forever Spice. Mm. And they did a whole press conference then.
Again, can we just establish at this point, without Spice Girls material, there is so much spice in the charts. So much going on. So much that in 1 week you've got two Spice Girls releasing solo singles.
Yeah. Also, I just wanted to point out that, and this is surprising news to me, Lift Me Up spent 19 weeks on the UK charts, which is the longest of any solo Spice singles.
So next up you had Northern Star by Melanie C, the second single from her album. Now, what do you think of this song?
I think it's gorgeous. It's, you know, coming from that very angsty, pop, punky vibes of Going Down, she's now taking us to a more dream pop, ambient sounding record that maybe is a little bit easier to digest. See her nipples on the CD single.
Oh, that's cheeky. I'm looking at that now. Oh my god, you really can.
They're very visible, aren't they?
Well, maybe that was her proving herself as an artiste.
It was her Miley moment, like you said before. Yeah. Just breaking out.
I mean, you could see Mel B's nipples in the Wannabe video.
But this is actual nips. Like, you can see the areolas.
That's cheeky. I wonder if Instagram would block us if we put that up.
Yeah, probably. Although, I mean, it is arty. You know, nipples aren't meant to be, like, ooh, savagely erotic. Like, no. It is just what it is. It's just nipples.
The body's beautiful at the end of the day.
Yeah, and so it is a beautiful artwork. And it's not, you know, she's lying there.
Yeah, it's stunning. She's laying in the sun, having a lovely time. I just hope, as long as it's her choice and she's happy with it, then I think it's stunning and a great choice.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you know, I got a sense that Melanie C was really driving the image and everything in this project. You know, she never struck me as someone that would just be a puppet of her own project. So this would have gone by her and she would have probably thought, do you know what? It is a good photo and it is edgy. And yeah, let's just leave it as it is. If people want to talk about it, then they talk about it.
I think she said, do you know what? That's lovely, that. Keep it.
So yes, Northern Star made number 4. On the UK charts.
It did.
Becoming her third top 5 hit.
Number 82 in Australia. You didn't care for the nipples there.
Maybe it got removed from our shelves.
Maybe. So that was released in the 29th of November.
Literally days before the Spice Girls Christmas in Spice World tour.
I love the recording of Christmas in Spice World live at Earl's Court. It's so much fun.
I love the staging.
Then performing in the round.
Yeah.
Incredible. So what's very interesting here is that they premiere Holla. So they perform it at Earl's Court, televised, and then they hold on to that for nearly a year until they release it.
Yeah.
Mental. Right Back At You, pop version, which is different by the time it makes it onto the album, and Woman, which unfortunately is never released.
Mm. I didn't even, because at the time of this happening, I wasn't watching the Christmas in Spice World tour. I wasn't aware of anything. So my introduction to Holla was the proper single release, which I guess was why the label wasn't too fussed that, you know, people got it here and there or wherever. You know, it was sort of, in a way, because it was such a different sound for the group that they didn't mind seeing
it
out.
To people.
Yeah, giving people time to sort of acclimatise to it, to marinate with a more R&B direction for them.
They perform it again at the Brits in March, but then it doesn't make it into the televised version.
No, it was just for the people in the room. So let's just recap the year 99. No Spice Girls records, but they've never been more visible There were 7 solo singles. All of them were top 5 hits except for Mel G's. There were 2 top 10 solo albums, 2 books, 2 docu-series. And not to mention, obviously, presenting jobs by Emma and Mel B and Posh and Beck's constantly being in the press.
Yeah, so exactly. So you may look and be like, Vicky didn't do anything in this year, but she was constantly in the press.
Yeah. And she had a child.
She had a child. She wanted to focus on marriage and a child, like,
and supporting David. Go for yeah. It. Then we come to the year 2000. Shall we start off with the Brits?
This Brit Awards, the Brit Awards 2000, is so iconic because not only do you have Jerry with her extremely memorable performance of Bag It Up, a real showstopper.
Mm.
You also have the Spice Girls receiving their contribution to music award with their big, incredible medley of their hits.
Mm.
And obviously there's such that buzz in the room that all Spice Girls are there, including Jerry, but they don't cross paths.
Mm.
I think Jerry was offered to perform with them at that moment, or at least accept the award of the contribution to music, but she declined. Of course you can understand why. And the dark side of it is that just before that performance, Victoria had received a death threat.
Mm.
There's one thing I read that she thought the pyrotechnics was a gunshot.
Mm.
Which is absolutely horrible.
Just and, unbearable to even think of what you're doing.
I think
that
not
moment.
Just her, Jerry had received a death threat as well. I don't know what's in the water with these psychos. I don't know if it was the same person or 2 different people. But hats off to these very strong women going out there doing their thing.
Now together, this British group has more tattoos and shoes and news headlines and more fans across the globe than any other. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, y'all homegirls, the Spice Girls.
Both Jerry and Mel C were nominated for Best Solo British Artist, Female Artist. They wanted to guarantee that all Spice Girls were going to be there, so that's why they did the Contribution to Music Award. It was originally offered to Paul McCartney that year, but he declined to perform, so they retracted their offer, and they offered it to the Spice Girls.
Yeah. I mean, I think at that time people were saying, gosh, outstanding contribution to music to Spice Girls. I mean, that feels a little bit early in their career.
Well, the way they pulled it off was they were saying it was for the decade that we'd just seen.
Yeah, the 90s. Very clever. Very clever. It's the year 2000. Looking back, let's honour them for what they did. I don't want to be rude, but a lot more people remember Jerry's performance from this night than the Spice Girls.
Jerry did an incredible, iconic performance. But so much work and live vocals and showmanship did go into the Spice Girls medley. They gave you the greatest hits kind of medley there.
Mm-hmm.
And so much went into that. But Jerry pulled off the big stunt, and it is the memorable thing. That's the thing I remembered as a kid.
Yeah, that's the thing a lot of people remember to this day. But I still love watching both their performances.
Oh, yeah. It was such an incredible Brits to watch as a kid.
Still love watching it. Shall we talk about Bag It Up?
So, Bag It Up is the one for me. This is Jerry saying, let's give the gays everything they want. Just a bad case of opposite sex. Have to look to the stars. All we need is a little respect. Because men are from Venus and girls are from Mars. Bag it up, don't drop the baby. Boot it out, no buts or maybe one. It's hard for me to pick between this and Machico Latino, but this is just such camp fun.
I think it's absolutely incredible. This video, like, I, at the time this came out, was not out. And I remember thinking, oh my God.
Look at all these men.
No, I remember thinking, if anyone catches me watching this,
oh, right. Yeah,
I would be beaten up.
Oh, David.
I used to get teased at school whenever Jerry's version of It's Raining Men would come on the radio, and they're like, oh, I bet you love this one, don't you?
And you're like, no.
No, I only listen to Linkin Park.
Yeah, so fucking hard being a fucking kid, isn't it, growing up?
It was hard, but hey, you know what?
We got through it.
So this was very much the gay agenda, and I got this on vinyl.
Did you?
Yeah, it's right there behind you somewhere. So Bag It Up became Jerry's third consecutive number one.
Third consecutive number one.
Stayed on the charts for 14 weeks. Spent a month in the top 20.
It really was. It was a song that encapsulated Jerry Halliwell. It really was the song of that persona.
You know, I try and put loads of creativity, loads of fun, loads of sense of humour, try and provoke thought, inspire, not take it too seriously. And my songs, I write songs for people. That's what pop music is about. And it runs at two different levels, like a painting. Part of it is fun and it's colourful. The other half is trying to speak to you and touch, say, look, I feel like this. Do you feel the same? That's the point of my songs.
After Jerry scored a huge number one with Bag It Up, the week after, Melanie C released Never Be The Same Again featuring Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Now, if you look at this, you've got two girls from two of the biggest girl bands ever in one song.
Yes, true. So the single is Never Be The Same Again. Back in the day, in my mind, this was the first Melanie C single from her solo album.
Right.
Because I had no real recollection of the other two singles.
Yeah.
So this was a big moment for me.
And this song knocked Jerry off the top spot.
So this is the first time in history we've seen a Spice Girl replace another on the charts. What a time to be alive. You know, you've got these two solo Spice Girls back to back at number one.
So this song went to number one in 7 countries.
Jesus.
And has sold more than 2.5 million copies worldwide.
I would say this is my favourite Melanie C song. Absolute favourite.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Without question. I love the lyrics. You know, there's so few pop songs out there that talk about falling in love with, you know, that kind of friend zone situation. Yeah. I love the complexity of it. I just, and it's just such a beautiful melody. I still play this in the office like every other week.
And we had the joy of seeing Mel C perform this at Mighty Hoopla last summer. That was a lot of fun. And she was incredible. And she looks incredible. She looks better than ever. She is fabulous Spice now. Like, literally.
She looks so good. You know, but in this era, it was more like she was still finding herself, wasn't she?
Mm.
You know, you got that sense. And we've all been there in our adolescence, in our 20s.
I'm still there, bloody
yeah.
hell.
I mean, she's in her 20s at this time. And I think this was the first music video that we saw her really look very elevated as a solo artist. And then we don't get a solo Spice record for a few more months.
For quite a few more months.
Then came August, 7th of August.
With Melanie C again.
And this is even fucking bigger.
Now, this is the Melanie C song. I Turn to You, the remix. This is the song.
Mm.
And you don't love it, do you?
I like it, but I like the album version.
You like the album version more than the single edit?
100%.
Oh, David Lim.
I love a Hex Hector Club remix moment, don't get me wrong, but I need to be in the mood for it because it's very frenetic. It's very, you know, balls to the wall, as Joel Babington would say. I turn to this is a classic. This is not just a solo Spice classic. This is a classic of the noughties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're a pop music lover of this generation, you know this song. You will live for this every single time it comes on. It's just one of those songs.
I tell you what, David, At the return of the Spice Girls tour, this song was such a moment when she performed this remix of the song.
It was a big one for the concert.
It was really incredible. Really incredible. I wonder if she'll do this one again for the Spice World tour. Or maybe she'll do something else. I don't know if they'll do any solo numbers. Because you look at what Steps did with their tour that we just saw, and they didn't do any solo numbers and it worked so well.
Yeah, but Steps don't have the kind of solo
hits. Tour before they did solo numbers.
Yeah, but Steps is... They don't have solo hits the way these girls
do. It's interesting, isn't it? Because they're going to really have to pull it out of the bag for the... Because it's a stadium tour.
Yeah.
So are they even going to say, all right, let's all do a big solo hit each or a big number of our choice? Or do we just stick to entirely Spice Girls hits and choose our moments to have a moment?
It can't be too similar to the last reunion tour, can it? So last reunion tour, Jerry did It's Raining Men, Mel C did I Turn to You, Emma did Maybe,
which are all these songs, aren't they?
What, they are these songs, you know. I never got to see that tour, so I'm secretly hoping that they would give me these moments again, but...
I don't know if they will. So I Turn to You, this went to number one in the UK, number one on the US Billboard Hot Dance Music Club Play chart.
Yes.
Number 11 in Australia. It went gold in the UK, platinum in Australia.
It spent 18 weeks on the charts, and it marked Melanie C's 10th number one as a songwriter. Boom.
Now we get to it.
Oh, stop. I cannot breathe.
David and I, what we're about to get into, we love this song and this artist so much.
It's just too much.
Like, this is it for us. So we are now talking about Out of Your Mind, True Steppers and Dane Bowers featuring Victoria Beckham, which is an interesting way to build it because I feel like she has the most lead vocal throughout the song.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
But it is what it is. Dane Bowers just had success with Buggin'. And Victoria's starting out on her own.
And she's taking a note out of Emma's book, saying, OK, there's a dance act and you'll be the sort of the featured artist with them. Great.
Mm-hmm. At least it's not a cover.
And Vicky really has her ear to the ground. She should be credited more as, like, Edgy Spice, you know. She does have that big quality to her.
She
knows her
stuff. She really came and surprised people with this one. And again, this record was released a week after Melanie C. So again, we could have had two back-to-back Spice Girls at number one. There was just so much solo Spice material in this year as well. It's really crazy.
What do you think of the song?
I love the song.
It's a great song.
I did not know what UK Garage was until this. This was my introduction to it. I didn't even know that was a genre. I just thought this was just cool dance music. In the lead up to Out of Your Mind, she hasn't just been sitting at home looking after Brooklyn. She's been sort of dabbling in her own solo projects. David has been encouraging her to record a solo album. You know, all these years she never had the self-confidence to do it, but around this time was when she really started to put feelers out and go, okay, I'm ready to set up recording sessions for my own album.
Yes.
And then suddenly she got this offer from True Steppers and Dane Bowers' team to go, okay, do you want to record on this track? So she, you know, cross-referenced it with her team at Virgin and they said, yeah, you should go for it. That's absolutely fine. Go for it. Because it wasn't in conflict with anything she was doing. She was only starting out her album.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reading in her book, Learning to Fly, she said that, you know, if I waited another year until the album was ready to do a single, it would be Victoria Who. She wanted to do pop, but she wanted to do something that felt current. And, you know, in the year 2000, / coming off the back of 99, dance music was dominating the charts. Victoria was working on this really hot and unexpected UK garage track with True Steppers.
But also it was a genius move for True Steppers to get her on board. This is a big star, someone really in the press.
They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. Publicity gold. But they didn't milk it as such when they first came out with it. So when they first came out with Out of Your Mind, they serviced it to the clubs without Victoria's name.
Mm.
And just let that organically grow, and then it got picked up on pirate radio stations. People were speculating at the time, who's the mystery female vocalist? Some people were saying it was Madonna. So they were like, okay, this is catching on. And then the song got added to Capital and Kiss a lot earlier than they were expecting.
Wow.
And the music video.
Oh, the music video is incredible. Very Matrix vibe. Also that Victoria is sort of like a kick-ass sort of ninja.
A pop star ninja.
She really shows us here that she is a pop star performer. Not only can she give us, not only can she hold a track, but she can perform and she can dance her little ass off. Let's not forget that this woman trained at Lane Theatre Arts, which is the dance school for dancers out of all the musical theatre colleges. If you're a Laney, it's like, oh, you're a good dancer. Mm. You're a strong dancer.
And this really shows. So she was saying in her book that she wanted to, her contribution to the project, aside from obviously her being Victoria Beckham, is that her as a performer. So she said that, I quote, "I had so much to prove and Victoria Beckham wasn't going to be some scaled down Spice Girl. I was a dancer, so we'd give them dancing like they'd never seen." Yes!
Get it, girl.
Yes, bitch. Get in. And you watch the Party in a Park performance to this day, and it still slays. It's like the spirit of Janet Jackson took over.
Oh, yes. So I think the issue with it, and it's not an issue, she did the right thing, but I think she gave us too much. I think she gave the audience too much that only a certain calibre of gay man with taste can appreciate. I think the UK public at the time didn't appreciate what she gave us, because she gave us everything and more with this song.
Also, people don't like to be proven wrong. No. Everyone had been saying to press, she can't sing, she's nothing, this or that, or the other. They've been slagging her off as just, she's just some footballer's wife. And all of a sudden, they have to sit there, shut the fuck up, and watch this woman slay a choreography in front of thousands of people in Hyde Park.
Yes.
Living her pop star fantasy, looking amazing in these hair extensions, in these leather costumes and tinted shades. They're like gagged, and they don't like that they're wrong.
So this single got released the same week as Groove Jet, If This Ain't Love, which had the featured vocal of Sophie Ellis-Bextor. Now, this song had been doing the rounds in Europe and getting very popular. Another dance track by a very posh woman doing the lead vocal. So, unfortunately, the press dubbed it as Posh v Posh, and this whole huge chart battle happened. I mean, this is kind of the chart battle of our younger lifetime, I would say, especially here in the UK.
Yeah.
It was a really, really big deal.
They at the time thought, okay, what do we do? Should we bring this single forward a week? And then it turns out, and this is all information in Victoria's first autobiography, they couldn't bring this single forward a week because there was a verbal agreement between record labels that they wouldn't go up against Mel C.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah.
The place where they're all at the time, none of them liked that Jerry and Emma went against each other. And unfortunately, Spiller featuring Sophie Ellis-Bextor came out on top. But Out of Your Mind was still a huge selling single. It was the biggest selling number two of that year that far. It was the biggest first week sales of any solo Spice Girls single. It sold over 180,000 copies during its first week, and has sold over 400,000 copies in the United Kingdom. Certified gold, it was the 21st bestseller of the year 2000, and the 152 bestseller of the decade, which is 2000 till 2009 in the UK. That's big fucking deal, mate.
Can we talk about the hair? Because I learned something very interesting about the hair in this era. So reading Victoria's book, originally, the promo stuff, all the photos for Out of Your Mind were shot with her with short hair. Because she's had short hair for a number of years now, since the last Spice Girl tour. The video director, Jake Nava, who goes on to do Beyoncé's Crazy in Love, said to her, "I prefer you with long hair." it needs to be long hair for this music video. So the hairstylist, which was Mel B's hairstylist at the time as well, glued strips of hair to her head for this video shoot. So everything had to be reshot, all the performances, every single performance, she had to spend 3 hours in the chair getting these bits glued in. And you know, I know you would think, wouldn't it be easy if she just got real extensions woven in? Here's the politics of it. The Spice Girls were doing their promo shoots for Forever at this time. So they were shooting the video for Holla, Let Love Lead the Way in the middle of this campaign that Victoria's doing. And they were shooting the artwork for it. And Virgin Records was absolutely insistent that Victoria needed to have short hair.
Why does she need to have short hair?
It was just, they needed to differentiate between these records. They said, True Steppers can have the long hair. We need to have the short hair.
Oh my God. But so, she has short hair in the Holla video.
That's why.
I mean, she has long hair in the Holla video.
But also that video, was that a Jake Nava video as well?
Don't know.
Probably the same video director. These men insisting women look a certain way.
Jake Nava, yeah.
Same video director for Holla.
She gets them out. What I need is you to have long extensions.
She's like, you again.
So she couldn't just have permanent extensions, the poor girl.
Yeah, because she needed to have short hair for the pictures.
And then Emma's got this big, long, blonde ponytail. He must have just had a thing for long hair.
Yeah.
And Mel C probably just told him to fuck off.
Listen, mate, this is all you're getting. I'm here for 15 minutes before I need to go on tour.
Yeah, I've grown my hair from here to here, and that's all you're going to have. Wow. So, Victoria kept having these poor extensions plucked in. So this time, she's not done any solo work, and now she finally steps her toe and she's having to start doing double duty.
Yeah, but that's like all the girls, hey?
No wonder their heart wasn't really in it anymore. Because they're all just being pulled, plucked and stretched everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's very well noted in a lot of these books and interviews that the whole Forever session was built around each girl's schedules. Yeah. It wasn't the other way around.
So we'll give you 5 minutes on a Tuesday this month and then we'll see you in a year. After the iconic Out of Your Mind, we get Tell Me from Mel B. So we'll say, right, I think Tell Me is a good song. It's enjoyable, but I think she chose it more because of the personal approach to it. I think in her mind, she thought that would be good PR and sell well, in terms of the song is about her former husband, Jimmy Gulzar, and it's saying, I thought you were in love with me, but all you wanted was Mel B's money.
Ooh, that lyric.
Now I see you didn't have no self-esteem, and all you loved was Mel B's money.
I'm not sure if the song is as good as that aspect of it. I think it's got a great music video. I think she shows all the makings of a great star. I mean, the video is directed by Nigel Dick, the Baby One More Time music video director, and the S Club Seeing Double film director, Nigel Dick. And I was saying to you earlier today, I wish that all that had been served to feel so good.
Which was the next single after this. Mel B is such a great dancer. The Top of the Pops performance.
Oh, she can serve it, yeah.
Wow. Everyone needs to go and watch the Top of the Pops performance of this.
What I think about Mel B's entire solo career, really, is she has everything. She has everything. Good voice, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous woman.
Oh, look at all these photos from the Hot album.
She is a stunning woman. She can serve it dance-wise. Great performer. I just personally don't feel like she has any, like, absolute bops.
No. So Tell Me debuted at number 4, which wasn't bad.
That's fucking great.
It's really good. It sold over 107,000 copies in its first week, and it made number 1 on the UK R&B charts. Listen, it wasn't a bad effort, but I started to feel like as we go along this campaign with Mel B, people were starting to lose interest because the Spice Girls record was coming back. And I read somewhere that in September, as Mel B's record was dropping, Holler was already getting service to radios.
I mean, we watched a CD UK performance, which they were saying Holler's going to come out in a few weeks, and the appearance was just Victoria, Emma and Mel C. And then they were like, oh, we've got a video message from Mel B. But it was just Mel B plugging her single. She didn't even know that the girls were on the show. You know, when you're doing promo, it's just, you know, she probably hadn't even been given the context.
The Spice Girls are bringing out Double A Side in October, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And it's Holla Holla, which we performed at Earls Court in the Manchester News Arena.
Yeah,
on the telly. And the other side is that lovely The Way,
which is a beautiful ballad.
So there's a dance track, a beautiful ballad, two wonderful videos, and the Spice Girls are back.
And you're coming at you. Together.
I like the way you're selling it, but Mel B. Mel B isn't here.
Hi, this is Mel B introducing my new video, my new song, Tell Me, which is out on the 18th of September. Check it out. Hope you like it.
Video. What,
we know, we're all singing along.
We like that.
What do we think we like?
We love it.
We love, we like, we love.
We love the video, very sexy.
Good.
It was just a really wild time that she's there promoing her own single when a Spice Girls single's about to come out.
Yeah. So, Hot, Mel B's debut solo album, came out in October 2000. It came out 2 weeks after Tell Me and less than a month before the Spice Girls' third album, Forever.
And what, 2 weeks before Holla came out? Holla came out on the 23rd of October and this came out on the 9th of October.
Yeah. Crazy times. But let's look at the DNA of the album, because she had some good producers working on this. She had Dark Child's team, who was working on the Spice Girls' third album, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who's worked with Janet Jackson and also has a song on Forever, Teddy Riley, and Max Beasley.
Max Beasley, who she was dating at the time. So while she was dating him, he was off filming Glitter, the Mariah Carey movie. Maybe he's a real method actor, because obviously he plays the producer in Glitter, so maybe he was like, yeah, I'm in this 80s film with Mariah and I produce all these hot tracks for her. I can do one for your album. She was like, yeah, all right, Max, let's go for it. And Step Inside's what we got.
Okay, so looking at this album, it really had all the makings of something good, isn't it? Because on paper, good people are working on it.
Oh, the calibre of R&B are on this album.
Oh, this is... I don't even think this would have been a cheap album to produce.
No.
No, ma'am.
And that Tell Me video would not have been cheap either that we saw.
No.
That was like a big, glitzy American music video.
Yeah, that's a big American pop star budget going on there. But still, it's just such a shame that it misses the mark. The product just wasn't up to scratch.
There's quite a few alright songs on it, but with these people she was working with and having sessions with, it feels like what would have sounded like they'd made two or three really good songs, put them away, and these are the ones that got left over, which obviously is not the case. And these people that ended up on Forever, the first time they had worked, Mel B was their way into it, so they had worked with Mel B before they worked with the Spice Girls.
Mm.
So, you know.
My favourite track from the album is Hotter.
Really?
Oh, that is... Now, that is like a subtle, sexy bop. You know, it's... It was rumoured to be the fifth single, but because the album wasn't doing well, they canned it. Baby, can you make me, make me, make me, baby. Baby, can you make me, make me, make me hot. Make me, baby, can you make me. I wanna know, tell me. Baby, can you it's very hard for me to find a particularly likable moment on this album, I have to be honest with you.
Feel So Good is really good, and that's obviously why it was the next single. And we were joking about Lullaby, but it is kind of crying on me the more we joke about it.
So Mel C had her own documentary that was on Channel 4 that launched the Northern Star era. Jerry had her Molly Deneen documentary that launched her.
She did.
Mel B, in the year 1999, did an episode of Flavor where she was, you know, they were talking about the making of this album a year before it came out. So it was like any momentum for this album had started a year earlier. And then the other TV thing she did was Trevor Nelson's The Players Club.
Yeah.
Which was filmed around this time the album came out. So it didn't actually materialise until the end of the year. So maybe they were hoping...
That would... Give it a nudge.
Give it a nudge.
You're obviously saying you've got to do a bit more work.
Well, sound guy's telling me
you've got to do a bit more work to get to number one, apparently.
Well, number one's that important to me.
Hello?
What do you mean, got to do a bit more work to get to number ones? I'm number ones aren't that important.
What it is that she's overworked and she doesn't want to be like Victoria working everywhere. You know what I mean? There's so much promotion on her single as Victoria. Okay.
So sadly, yeah, Hot debuted at number 28, the lowest charting Spice release.
Of the debuts.
At this point in time, it was the lowest charting Spice-related record.
I think this was the first line that, oh no, things might falter in Planet Spice. And then just a few weeks later, she was back as Scary Spice.
Minutes later.
So Holla was released on October 23rd.
Number one.
Number one in the UK. Well, Holla and Let Love Lead the Way, double A side. So, lastly, of this era, 27 days after the Forever album was released, Mel C releases a single, If That Were Me.
It's still within the same paycheck period.
I didn't know this song until it came to this episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I used to really like this song so much back in the day.
So the single went to number 18 here in the UK, 28 in Australia. You know, it was a saturated period and the Spice Girls had just released all their stuff. I didn't even know the song.
Yeah. Number 18 in the UK was the lowest charting solo Spice single at the time. And it maybe was, I mean, still in Australia, it was her fourth top 30 hit.
And it was the fifth single from her
album. It was fifth single, yeah. You know, Northern Star, the era, already had two huge chapters in it. But things were looking brighter for Melanie C as a solo entity, I have to say, by the end of this year. She got three nominations at the MTV Europe Music Awards, Best Song for Never Be the Same Again, Best Female, and Best New Act. So yeah, this is...
What a time.
Can we
just wrap it up? What an absolute time. Look at what we've covered from 98 to the end of 2000. Like you said, 21 releases from these girls collectively is absolutely incredible.
It is so crazy how much happened. But, you know, this is why we wanted to do an episode focusing on this moment in time.
I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
With any group.
With any group.
Not to this level. I mean, we might do a second part of this.
I mean, please let us know what you thought, what your favourite songs and moments were from this era. If you'd like us to cover the rest of the Spice Girls releases.
We'd love to do a solo Spice part two because, the best is yet to come, in my opinion. We have Victoria's album coming, Emma, What Took You So Long, and the Free Me album that follows that, the second album, my favourite solo Spice album. So I could go on forever, but...
Forever.
Okay. I could go on forever.
Which means we'll do a quick double A side and that's it. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. If it's your first time listening to us, if the Spice Force 5 have made you listen to this episode, please do go back and listen to our several other episodes covering our favourites from the noughties and maybe a few from the late 90s. You can follow us on all social media at RightBackPod. And you can email us at rightbackpod@gmail.com. And you can follow me at @Dr_JoelB. And you can follow David at @FeedLimmy or @LoveLimmy.
Fabulous.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode.
Ooh, thank you so much, guys, for joining us on this journey and for all your lovely comments and messages.
And DM our hearts anytime you want.
Yes.